This is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.
You're listening to The Drama Show. It is 2 minutes past three. I'm Ella. And as always, I'm joined by the lovely Creative Writing Society.
Good afternoon.
Hey. Hello.
Hello.
I get more, like, flourishy with my arms every week.
Oh, if only. If only we could see it on the radio. You're joined today by myself, Jack, President. You got... To my left.
Not just of Creative Writing Society.
Of the world. I'm just taking control. Yeah.
Ed, I am Social Secretary of apparently the world now. So,
cool.
Yay.
And I'm Kelly. I'm President of anything of nothing. So...
Sweet. Yeah.
Get that on a t-shirt.
Yeah. President of nothing.
Right, we're going to kick off today with a Christmas-themed one.
Oh, excellent.
No!
We have officially declared Christmas at URN, so it's completely fine.
I heard Fairy Tale of New York in Tesco, so I thought, well...
I have seen people in Christmas jumpers, so I think it's official.
Fantastic, right. I'm vindicated. Following the theme of the last stories, this is interdimensional. And also, it's part of... the Secret Santa thing we did last year, which I'll talk about at the end.
Oh, yes. Keep tuned, everybody. It's exciting.
Yes, right. Here we go. Christmas. A time when joy and compassion flow throughout every land. A time when everyone lets the rampant cruelty and excesses of late capitalism off the hook for a while. And, this year most of all, it is a time of great unrest at the multidimensional offices of Santa Corp, trademark. I don't care if the union of wooden train builders is threatening to strike. I want my quota filled, Godfather Christmas belted into his candy cane phone before tossing it at his pint-sized secretary. The atmosphere in the boardroom was frostier than Jack Frost's sugar plums as a battered elf scurried out of the gingerbread door. Eyes darted from face to jolly red face as the exit crunched shut, and the room fell prey to an icy silence. The silence lingered over the vast caramel-salted boardroom, gnawing on the nerves of the two rows of red-suited figures of all shapes and sizes, consistencies and races, as they waited for their fate to be thundered from the head of the table. The figure who held the rank of Santa from every Santa Corp trademark franchise in the multiverse had been called in. Even those from the far-flung Disney World, anime land and dystopian sci-fi world had been called. Something had gone seriously wrong. Having run a successful non-profit toy distribution and festive cheer-generating operation on Earth for centuries, exactly a year ago, the senior management of Santa Corp trademark felt it was time to extend the franchise across the multiverse, and this Christmas was going to be the biggie. 12,000 worlds were going to embrace Christmas. Demand was going to rocket, or so they thought. Godfather Christmas drummed his fingertips on the glazed surface of the table once as he calmly adjusted the red fluffy hat, twice as he dunked the gingerbread man in his milk and consumed its head whole, three times as he chewed, leaned back, and began. Midday on the 25th of December. You know what I should be doing right this second, rattled the immense crimson-clad figure. Every head bowed in a tinkle of sleigh bells. No one dared interrupt the monologue from the most powerful festive figure in the multiverse. Well, as it seems your tongues have been ravaged by frostbite, I'll tell you. Right now, I should be absolutely sleigh-belled on brandy, listening to the best of Cliff Richard, watching a Doctor Who Christmas special repeat. But instead, I'm sucking a room with you jokers whilst my sleigh bells are squeezed into bankruptcy by the multidimensional monetary organisation. Can somebody explain to me how, on the most important night of the year, Santa Corp, trademark, failed to pull off a single successful Christmas? I mean, come on, it's not exactly rocket science. A timid metallic cough drew the... every eye like metal filings to a magnet, as Mecha Santa raised his antenna and blurted, well, sorry, Godfather, but our Santa franchise in sci-fi land is sort of rocket science, sir. Godfather Christmas's pudgy red face remained motionless, as Mecha Santa's display began to become dim and erratic. It's just that running a non-profit present delivery service is problematic when every kid wants a dark matter-powered anti-grav board or microneural implant. The elves you supplied us with, sir, they only build wooden toys. I tried to teach them how to build GravTech, but there were accidents, black holes, entire batches of elves discombobulated by antimatter injectors. I fail to see your point, Godfather Christmas boomed over the frantic static whine. My son has his elves mass-producing iPads and computer games by the millions. It's all about discipline and assertive leadership. It's not like you can't clone more if a few die of exhaustion or discombobulation, you metal-headed idiot. I've been told you lost all 9 of your designated flying reindeer as well. How did that happen? They don't come cheap, you know. Mecha Santa began to spark as oil leaked from his frontal exhaust tube as he spluttered out a reply. The airspace, sir. It was so crowded by Federation ships. There were so many lasers my shields couldn't hold, sir. Do you know what a gamma beam does to a reindeer? It is a sight my processors can never delete. Gah! His internal fans ground to a halt and his processors spluttered until his furry red hat ignited and his internal speakers frazzled into silence. For the love of snowballs, Godfather, slammed his pudgy finger on an intercom, and a bandaged elf scurried in with a fire extinguisher. Get him out of here, and get me a skinny eggnog latte, with soy milk, extra cinnamon, and one of those little cherry things. Now! The elf bowed and rushed out, wheeling the festively flaming hunk of metal out of the room. Wowzers, exclaimed a whiny voice from the end of the table. Looks like he should be renamed Crisp Kringle. Hey, anyone? That's enough from you, Family Comedy Land Santa, bellowed Godfather, readjusting his majestic beard and tearing another limb from his gingerbread man. Now, can anyone else enlighten us as to how Christmas 2015, in your capable hands, became the biggest flop since Rabbit Corp, copyright, tried to introduce Easter to satanic cultland? The mist of fear and suspense once again clouded the boardroom until, after what felt like a lifetime, a disembodied voice bellowed, I'll tell you why your Christmas failed! Sorry for the accent, by the way. I'm bad at Scottish. Any Scottish listeners, turn off now. Godfather sat up, intrigued by the ethereal and somewhat Glaswegian-tinted voice. Where are you hiding, oh mildly Scottish Christmas spirit? He asked. Bestow upon us your knowledge. Oh, pal, I'm down here, muttered an angry, jingly-hatted dwarf, clambering onto the table and scattering sugar paper spreadsheets all over the floor. And I got a lot to say about this thing you laddies are calling Christmas. He drew himself up to full, but still relatively laughable height, and threw his jingly horned Santa hat into the face of crudely animated Santa of late 70s Saturday morning cartoon world. You see, the whole magical present thing might bring a smile or two to the faces of you bozos back in Fantasyland. It's to a bleeding penny. Kiddies couldn't care less about flying horses or wooden toys when they got frigging dragons flying about. Oh, God, I'm terrible at this. And it's Cliff Richard business. The last time I tried playing his damn Christmas song in my local tavern, I barely escaped with my beard. Godfather Christmas contemplated this odd Scottish dwarf for a few seconds before, quick as a flash, he punted him off the table, through the gingerbread ceiling of the boardroom, and out into multi-space. Every face became morphed in horror, except for Horror World Santa. He found it pretty funny. As Godfather Christmas wiped his brow and said in a whisper like distant thunder, No one shall desecrate the holy name of Cliff Richard. No one. As he reclined back in his chair, he suddenly lit up, his red face, marked by anger, suddenly becoming soft and pudgy. Straightening his red hat and grinning a warm and homely grin, Godfather Christmas laughed a long and hearty laugh, ho-ho-hoing until the whole boardroom became infected by his festive cheer. Ho-ho-ho, now I know this year was a bit disappointing, but I know the next year we can muster up some festive cheer and really show the multiverse what this holiday is all about. And if it doesn't go to plan again, his happy gaze went up to the new created skylight in the gingerbread roof. Well, you know, ho-ho, what might happen? The cacophony of festively dressed beings laughed nervously and nodded knowingly at Godfather Christmas, who cheerily devoured the carcass of his gingerbread man.
Oh my goodness.
As ever, slightly wacky, very funny, and just a tiny bit disturbing.
Every week you come and you read something like that, like, oh, he's never gonna do better than that next week, and then he comes out with that.
The Scottish accent, though. I forgot I was going to do it, and I really apologise.
I feel
like
shot yourself. Tad Irish, but...
Yeah, I feel you shot yourself in the foot by specifically saying it was Glaswegian. I think you could get away with sort of Highlander Scottish, kind of that Irish little bit, that sort of the more Gaelic sound, but no, you shot yourself in the foot with Glaswegian.
Oh, man. Right. Yeah. I've failed.
Yeah. One bit of criticism. Jack goes and cries in the corner for the rest of the show.
Yes, if you need me, I'll be crying. Kelly, do you want to read your...
Okay. So I've started writing a bit of a short story, which is a subverted version of Snow White. So I'm going to read a portion of it today, since it's fairly long. So this one's called Little Snow. The woods speak their own language. Theirs are the words of the whispering leaves, the low growl and soft trample of the wolf. Theirs is the delicate silver of frost clinging to withered brambles, the dew-spun spider webs like listening diamonds. It is the language of gloomy nights and dark mornings. Those who dare to walk amongst the trees do so with a shiver as they huddle in the firs and dream of warm fires, for it is winter in these woods. A harsh, cruel winter. The kind that freezes fingers and toes and hearts. a window almost as cold and unforgiving as the woman who commands it. She sits by a mullioned window of her tower room as she conducts the clouds as though they were an orchestra. Outside, the sky is a blanket of pastel grey, soft as feathers. A candle sputters by her feet as she watches the storm she has created until she can no longer see beyond the whitewash of snow. Slowly, the queen draws a breath. A small cloud of smoke escapes from her lips as she mists up the window pane. From this height, tucked away in her castle, nobody can sense her loneliness. Far below, where even the queen cannot see, the snow drifts amongst the anorexic limbs of trees like icing sugar. It settles on the fallen leaves, on the branches, on the strange jagged rocks poking up from the ground like giant jagged teeth. Everywhere but the clearing, no snow lies there. The occasional flake flutters down from the swollen sky, spurned on by the keening eddies of wind, and rests upon the coffin. But even in the cold they melt, trickling down the sides into an oblivion, as though they were never really there. The coffin sits in the centre of the clearing, drawing the eye of anyone who happens to pass. Beneath the lid lies a girl of exquisite beauty. Her eyes are closed, as though in sleep, her hair floating around her shoulders to caress ivory skin. It is black as raven feathers, with a soft prismatic sheen. Her face, pale and as distant as the moon, exudes an enigmatic grace that has evaded the ravages of time. And her lips of carmine, voluptuous, where even the nightingales let loose serenades upon seeing them, as delicate and heart-wrenching as Puccini. Around the coffin clamour seven little jars. Here, in the clearing, the senses play tricks on you. Glance at them long enough, and you may truly end up believing that each one emits a faint glow. Oh, foolish thought. That is the magic of the clearing, the place that the woods have swallowed up whole. One wrong step, and the same fate will befall you. That is the nature of the woods. The pulse of the woods quickens and then silences as the trees lean in as though to conspire. The branches wrestle together, regiment upon regiment, row upon row, the birch and the yew, the grandfatherly oak all standing guard, quiet, sinister sincerity. And beneath the tangle of branches, as impenetrable as the Gordian knot, she is the lighthouse, the one to call the weary sailor home, the one around whom the whole forest orbits, never quite daring to breathe a sigh or break the lingering spell of the silence. A tiny figurine nestles in the grass at the foot of the coffin. Unlike the girl beneath the glass, its features are unrefined, crude hewn nose, narrowed eyes, half-finished mouth that is little more than a slash. Only the engraved name at the bottom offers any kind of identification. St. Jude. Fitting, perhaps. After all, St. Jude is the patron saint of lost causes. For Snow White, imprisoned in her coffin, is almost beyond saving.
It was going so well. It was so professional. And then Ed found the space on that.
God. So, as I was saying, Wednesday Lit Circle, Myths and Legends, is going to be great. And then Thursday, we've got our... is it the last NaNoWriMo session?
No.
Ooh, yeah. We've got one more after this.
No, because NaNoWriMo finishes in 3 days.
Oh, right.
Thursday is about four away.
Cool. Well, it will be the first session after NaNo, post-NaNo, we'll call it, and it'll be great. We'll have snacks and stuff. And then we have our Secret Santa thing. I'll put a post on Facebook and an email about it. Pretty much send in 3 likes and 2 dislikes, or more or less, if you want to, with your email and name. And then... we'll give that to someone to write a piece for you, and then we'll give you a piece to write as well, and then we give it to each other on Christmas Eve, and it's all quite nice and Christmassy.
Lovely.
Yeah. That should be fun. Also, we've got radio show next week if you want to be involved, any members. We've got the magazine as well, so send us all your pieces, because it's going to be great. And I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Wow.
Well, thank you as always for coming on. It's such a pleasure having you here. And can't wait for next Sunday to hear more of the wonderful things you've been writing. In just a few minutes, Sam's going to be in here interviewing the new theatre. But for now, this is For the Girl, Where Did the Time Go?
And we are again with New Theatre for the newest play of the season, Wit. Woo. Directed by Will Berrington. And he is joined today by Laura, Gigi, and Lois. So, hi everyone.
Hello.
Thanks for coming, guys. To start off, Will, would you like to give us the synopsis of this play?
Okay, so...
get closer to the mic if you'd like.
Vivian Baring, who's an academic of the Holy Sonnets of John Donne, is diagnosed with cancer and undergoes an experimental treatment which, while it may not cure her, will provide invaluable amounts of research for the field of oncology. Unfortunately, and you find this out in the opening line of the play pretty much, so it's not too much of a spoiler, the cancer takes over her body and she is basically told that she is terminal. And through this, she learns a lesson of compassion. It's an emotionally battering play, but really cathartic and actually in many places very funny. But yeah, it's extraordinarily sad, but kind of hopeful.
Would you say this is either... is this a play of change, or would you say that it's a play of growth? Which one would you sort of say this is?
I think we'd all agree it's probably more change than growth. Vivian starts off the beginning of the play quite cold, quite sort of harsh. Oh, sorry, not the beginning of the play, the beginning of her process. And by the end of it, she's learned to let people in. She's learned to be a bit more accepting to other people's viewpoints, other people's ways of life. And she lets the sorts of people she'd normally not let into her life be her friends.
And kindness. She lets kindness in for the first time in a long time.
She's lived her whole life without letting anyone sort of close to her.
Yeah.
She's been quite isolated, but yeah, she sort of starts to let people in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The play runs from Wednesday the 30th of November to December the 3rd of December. Saturday the 3rd of December. Tickets are £4 for Nottingham New Theatre members. They're also £4 for medics on the Wednesday. It runs to Saturday. On Saturday, tickets are half price for freshers, and then general ticket prices are £5 for students and...
Is it
£7? £7 or £8 for non-members of staff, but
the outsiders.
Yeah, the outsiders. Yeah. and that's pretty much it. Matinee on Saturday at 2:30, and doors are at 7 for all of the performances.
Fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us, guys. Always a pleasure to have New Theatre on.
You are back with The Drama Show. I'm Ella, and I'm now going to have a go at Scrape or Fake, which is where I'm going to give a story, and Jamie and Sam, who I'm joined by, have to work out whether it's true or false. So my story is that on Thursday evening, I'm going to say impressed my friends by reciting line by line 3 horrible history songs.
Okay, hang on. If we're trying to guess whether or not this is true... I mean, are we guessing whether or not they're impressed? Because I have no doubt you can do 3 horrible history
it's
songs.
It's not dependent on whether they're impressed.
What I doubt is whether or not they're impressed by them.
What I doubt is them being plural friends. I don't believe that.
Dude.
Oh, that's harsh. Yeah, I know, but that's what I am. If Tom was here, I'd be slamming on him, but now, Ella, you're an easy target.
Yeah, I completely concur. Tom is an easy target. Hi, Tom, if you're listening.
Bad thought.
Yeah, so basically what happened is I was messaging... sort of, my friends and I have a group messenger chat, and the conversation was getting quite weird, and for some reason I thought it would be a good idea to start writing out a horrible history song, doing one line per message.
Yeah.
So that my friends would come back
so
and
stuff
they'd
like,
be like,
My name is.
That was the song.
My name is Charles II.
That was the song.
Not to be confused with King Philip II of Spain.
No. King Philip II of Spain. Yeah, the first one was Charles II.
Yeah.
And so it went all...
Go on, name all three.
Charles II.
Yeah.
English Kings and Queens. And Dick Turpin were the three that I sent. One line per message.
Like, how annoyed were your friends by you just, like, spamming the group chat with these...
One of them found it very funny, because she, at the same time, was... trying to Photoshop a picture of me and James Acaster together. So I feel like actually I wasn't the weirdest person there.
No.
The other person in the group chat wasn't following it. She was trying to sleep, because this was about 12:30 at
night.
This
is when horrible history stuff happens, yeah.
Obviously. She was trying to sleep, and then she seemingly woke up at about 1 a.m. and said that there were 97 messages.
You know, Spankly, Ella... If I love you, but if you were my friend doing that, I don't think I'd be...
The conversation, it started at about 10 o'clock and went on till about 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of messes. And I've got to say, the horrible histories bit wasn't even the weirdest turn.
No, and to be fair, I have had conversations with Ella in the past. You've come up to me and said, Jamie, who do you think is the hottest of the horrible histories cast?
I would never say that, because they're all equally gorgeous.
Definitely the rat. I love the rat. He's gorgeous.
A lot of information there, Sam. So do you think this is true or false?
Oh, hang on. How much of Kings of Queens and England can you do now?
All of it.
Go on.
Is that giving yourself away, though?
The problem is...
If we only offer this song, I think that's basically fine.
William... Henry?
It's not much of a rhythm to this song, is there? It sounds like you're saying it rather than singing it.
It goes through bits and then it says oi. Henry VIII comes in at some point.
Yes, he does. He's very much... He's one of the more famous kings
and queens of
England.
Yeah, heard of him. Okay, do you think this is true or false?
It's true.
There's no way you've forgotten the lyrics. Of course you have.
Yeah, she's bluffing you out.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's true. William, Henry, Stephen, Henry, Richard, John. Oi, Henry, Ed, Rich, 2, 3, while Henry's join our song. Edward, Rich, III, Henry, Ed again. Mary, 1, good Queen Bess. Jimmy, Charles, and Charles, and then. Jim, Will, Mary, Anna, Gloria, George, Will, Victoria, Edward, George, 6. Queen Liz, 2, completes the mix. Thank you, everybody, and good night.
And now, live from Nottingham's Portland building, ladies and gentlemen, it's the impromptu comedy stylings of The Improv Show!
Yes, it's just after 4:30 on a Sunday, which means only one thing. The Improv Society finds itself once again inexplicably and inextricably in this studio, invading the drama show. My name's Jack Ellis, I'm your host. The little voice in your head is Gareth Hughes. The strange bird noise you're about to hear is Joe Hadley. There's also Jennifer and Jamie and Sam.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
But not in that order.
Not necessarily in no particular order. We have the rest of them. We're the Improv Society. We're going to play some games. It's going to be fantastic fun. So, we have Joe Hadley and Sam Marsh. They're going to play Change, and they're going to play it in the location of a spacecraft. Begin.
Captain, it's not looking good. I've been back in the engine room for 15 straight hours now, and I just can't fix the ceiling fan.
Change thing.
And I just can't fix the defibrillator.
Change.
And I just can't fix the phase drive.
Change.
I just can't fix the mouse mat.
Well, you did your best.
I know, that mouse has been complaining about its mat for a long time. It's our ship's mouse. It needs to be kept happy, otherwise it'll...
Listen.
Chew through the wiring.
Let's just thank goodness that our ceiling fan and our phase drive and the other two things are working.
That's true. I mean, they break all the time and it gets really hot in that engine room.
I can only imagine.
Change.
And I do regret their passing. I'm sorry, I don't think it's a laughing matter.
Yeah, go away. You're supposed to be in the kitchen preparing our food.
As a good medical officer does.
Stop oppressing me.
Change.
I enjoy being oppressed.
As you were.
Yes, our slave medical officer from the last planet that we landed on appears to be very happy with the oppressive situation that she is in.
Yeah.
Change alarm noise. Change alarm noise.
The jazz drive will be broken. I'll go and fix it.
That kind of scat can only mean one thing.
We're going to have to land on Planet Blues.
Quick, deploy the funk drive.
Co-pilot, if you just join in on the alto sax.
And sing.
This
is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.